back in Psalm 51 for the last time during these sermons relative to the Lord's Supper. We read it last week, but let's read it again tonight. The text for the sermon will be verse 10. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build Thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt Thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon Thine altar. So far we read God's Word. Let's read together just verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the last time here, we look at a sermon or a text from Psalm 51. There's all sorts of verses that could be used in Psalm 51 for an applicatory sermon. Really, the second half of Psalm 51 is filled with ideas and themes that would be very appropriate to consider as we take leave of the Lord's Supper tonight. The verse that I've chosen to preach on this evening is verse 10. And I want to reiterate something that I said briefly in the sermon this morning, that in these three sermons that we've had on Psalm 51, we are praying for three very distinct things that we need every single day. Or we make three distinct petitions to God every single day of our lives. The first was the preparatory sermon, and that is that in our prayers to God daily, we acknowledge our sin. We express to God the fact that we know ourselves as sinners. In the sermon this morning, we learn about that main petition that we ask of God with respect to those sins. We need to know consciously that they are forgiven in the sight of God. And so we pray daily for forgiveness. The sermon this evening rounds the picture off. Because in addition to that, we have to make this petition. And that is that God would work in us. That God would create in us a clean heart. That God would renew a right spirit. That is, we pray to God that He would sanctify us and make us holy. That's important. As the children of God who understand the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, as we think about what is presented to us in the Lord's Supper and that which God confirms to us in the partaking of the Lord's Supper and in the gospel as it is preached from week to week, we as Christians have one great desire as we think about that salvation. And that one great desire that we have every single day is to live our lives for God, to live in thankful obedience and recognizing who we are as sinners. Therefore, we offer the petition to God daily. Sanctify us. Work in us. Make us holy. Do that by creating in us clean hearts and renewing in us right spirits. We look at Psalm 51, verse 10, using as our theme David's prayer for sanctification. The first point of the sermon tonight is that this is a prayer that arises out of a great need. In the second place, we will consider that it is a prayer for a clean heart and a right spirit. And then in the third place, that it is a prayer of complete dependence upon God. David's prayer for sanctification. This prayer, as the first point indicates, is a prayer that arises out of a very great need that David had. And there's different ways in which we could talk about that need. And I want to start by talking about the need that David had by putting it in the form of a question, a very practical question as you think about David. You think about what he went through. You think about where he's at this point, looking back, reflecting upon what Nathan said to him, now going to God, and then he thinks about the future. And one of the great needs that David had can be expressed by asking this question that he certainly would have asked himself. Is it going to happen again? Is it, the it, being the sins that he fell into so seriously, is it going to happen again? If he's out on his rooftop some night and he peers and he sees a woman, is he going to be overtaken by the lust of his heart such that he's blind to everything else in the truth and he feeds that lust? Is it, when he walks in sin, going to happen again such that he's so deep into this sin that he's willing to do anything to cover it up? Is it, when he's at this point, going to be such that he's hardened in it and refusing to confess it and bring it before God? As he stands before God, knowing his forgiveness, but thinking about what happened and thinking about going forward, he knows he has a great need. Is it going to happen someday in the same way that it just happened over the past year? You see, that was a great need that David had. He had to know, as we talked about this morning, that as he stands before the judgment seat of God, as his record is opened up before God with a stamp of guilty upon it, he needed to know that legally, as he stood before God, he was righteous. Righteous on the basis of the blood of the Lamb that was slain. But he also needed something in addition to that. He needed God to work in him so that he would walk differently, so that he would be kept on a path of holiness and obedience before God, so that he would be kept from these terrible falls into sin and these prolonged periods of impenitence. And thus he cries out to God this word in verse 10, God, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. The great need that David had came from an understanding of his sinful flesh and the corruption of that sinful flesh and the power of that sinful flesh. Notice what he says in verse 5 of Psalm 51. This was not a verse that we talked about at length when we talked about the knowledge of David's sin, but certainly a very important verse in Psalm 51. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51 verse 5 is one of those verses that we use to teach the truth of original sin and to teach the truth of the depravity of our sinful flesh. David is understanding that when he came into this world born and conceived, he came into this world as a sinner, received from his parents, passed down from them to him, such that who he was a through and through sinner, and that the flesh that clung to him was totally depraved. And that as he stands before God, even at this time in his life, he still has that sinful flesh. All of that is implied when he says in Psalm 51 verse 5, I was shapen and conceived in sin. And that says something about the great need that David had, because he understands on account of that, that the issue here is not the isolated outward act of adultery and the isolated outward act of penning a note that would go to Joab and that would have Uriah killed. He understood that there's something deeper that needs to be addressed. And that which is deeper that needs to be addressed is his sinful flesh. And he knows the corruption of that sinful flesh. As we read in the New Testament, that in our flesh is no good thing. And knowing that it's not just about these outward acts, but it's who we are as sinners that is the issue. He addresses the heart and he says, create in me a clean heart. He addresses the will and he says, give me a right spirit. But as he reflects upon this at this time, David understands too that that sinful flesh that is totally corrupt can be so powerful. David was living out of that sinful flesh when he walked in these sins of adultery and murder and impenitence. And the nature of that sinful flesh was that it had a grip on him. And at this time in his life, if you were to ask the question, what's reigning in David? What's in control in David? What has the power in David? It wasn't the new man. It wasn't the heart created by God that we're going to come to in the second point of the sermon. But he knew that it was that sinful flesh that was reigning, that had control, and that had power. And that's the nature of sin. That it can grab a hold of a man or a woman. It can be like a vice grip that takes a hold of a man or a woman such that it doesn't let go. And all the power that we could muster up ourselves will never be able to unlock the power of those vice grips. And when that sinful flesh is reigning in a man or a woman, it takes the supernatural divine work of God to break it. The need that David had was that he understood his sinful flesh, its corruption and its power. Because he went on these sins impenitently for a long time. Not just the sins themselves that demonstrates the power, as we talked about it in the first sermon when we looked at the history, but then you think about the impenitence for months. He was under the power of that sinful flesh. Certainly the case that the primary sin out of which this all comes is of that nature. The sexual sins can take a hold of a man or a woman so strongly that it is only by the power of God that they would be broken from them. But any sin can be like that in our lives. It can be anger, such that anything turns someone off and swells up within themselves this anger that is lashed out with words and actions towards others. It can be laziness, such that one is overtaken by the desire to do what he or she wants to do instead of doing that which God calls us to do. It can be the sins of overeating. Food has such a control over a person. Time and time again, that's what is fleed to day after day. It can be the sins of overworking, to the neglect of a wife or a family. One is overtaken by the desire to work and to make money and to maintain a status here on this earth. There is every sin imaginable for which this can be true, that it takes a hold of a man or a woman like those vice grips and doesn't let go. The prayer here that David offers to God is not a prayer that is offered once every few weeks or once every few years during a particular hard time in a person's life where they're overtaken by this sin or that sin, as I just list a few, and you know everyone has to take this word and look at themselves personally and know what that besetting sin for them right now is and apply it to them. Every day we pray something like this. It may not be these words. It may not be clean heart, steadfast spirit. But it's something like this where we pray, God, work in me. God, sanctify me. God, keep me from temptation. God, help me to live the antithetical life. And then do this. Know what the sin is for you. It's not every sin that's like this. Yes, all of our sinful fleshes are completely depraved. Certainly. But the fact is, there's an inclination towards this sin or that sin in that person or that person. And so we attach to this clean heart with respect to this sin. God, help me. A steadfast spirit with respect to that sin. God, help me. Every day, we pray, God, work in me by Thy power so that I walk a thankful life before Thee. That was the great need out of which this particular petition arises. And now let's look at the petition itself. The petition is for two things. And they certainly parallel each other. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We focus on the heart for a little bit right now. David asks that God create in him a clean heart. The heart, we can say, is the spiritual center of a man or a woman. The foundational passage in this respect is the well-known Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, which says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Before we talk about this relative to Psalm 51, I just want to make a few comments about what the heart is and what God does to us with respect to our hearts. The analogy of the physical heart is a good one as we think about our spiritual heart. What is our physical heart? It's one of the main organs in our body, and one can say even that it's the most important organ in our body. Such that if it is the case that the heart is right, Everything else then can function correctly as it's supposed to. But if the heart is compromised, it has an effect on much more than just the heart. The heart is the source. Out of the heart is pumped the blood and the oxygen that needs to get to everywhere in our body so that all the rest of our body is able to function as it is supposed to function. But the heart, in many respects, is the center, the source, out of which everything works or doesn't work. That's a good analogy to our spiritual hearts. It's the center. It's the source. Out of it proceeds everything, so to speak. Now here's the problem. The problem is that according to our conception and birth and by nature, we had a certain type of heart. And that was a spiritually dead heart. A corrupt heart. A heart of stone. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of the heart that we have by nature. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a description of what our heart is by nature. It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The strength of those terms catches our attention. Deceitful above all things. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. That's the corrupt, sinful heart that we have by nature. And so what is required for us as we think about who we are by nature is not just a little fix of the heart. What is required if things are going to be right for us, remembering that it's the source out of which everything flows, is not just a little fix of the heart, but we need a complete heart transplant. We need a new heart. We need a new heart that comes from God Himself. And the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 through 21, describes what God does. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. And this is what that heart of flesh does. That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. And so what does God do for His children? Born with a deceitful, desperately wicked heart, spiritually dead in sin, what God does is He takes that heart and He says, I'm going to remove it. And He transplants into us a new heart of flesh. And that new heart of flesh is the life of God that He works in us by His Spirit. That's a brief explanation of heart according to the Word of God. Now let's come back to this prayer. What David says here is he says, create in me a clean heart. Now as we think about David throughout this history, we have to remember a couple of things. And that is, though he fell into these great sins and even walked in these sins for some period of time, David was always a child of God. And David never fell away from his salvation that he had in God. So that God had, prior to even the time that he makes this prayer in Psalm 51, God had removed from him his heart of stone and worked in him a heart of flesh. God had worked in him the life that is from God by His Spirit. David did not fall away from grace. God did not cast David away during this time of impenitence. David did not know the love of God consciously. That's true. He most definitely did not, as he felt the heavy hand of God upon him for those months of impenitence. But never was David the object of God's wrath as a reprobate unbeliever. He was always the object of God's love in Jesus Christ. And so when David says, "Create in me a clean heart," the idea of this prayer is that God would work in him such that he would walk differently than the way that he walked before. Before, the way that he was walking in those sins and during that impenitence was out of a sinful flesh that clung to him. That was reigning. That was powerful. That was in control in the life of David at that time. And when he says, "Create in me a clean heart," he's praying, "God, work in me such that now no longer will I live out of that sinful flesh, but my life will be lived out of the flesh, the heart that Thou hast worked in me." He says, "Create." And we'll come back in the third point of the sermon to that word, "create." There's something important that we learn from why he says specifically, "create." But the main idea here is that it's a prayer that he would now live out of that clean heart that God worked in him. It's a clean heart. That's the heart that we have from God. That's not the heart that we have by nature. Our heart by nature is a corrupt heart. God's heart that He works in us is a clean heart. It's pure. It's inclined towards God. It loves God. It says with respect to God's law, "Oh, how I love God's law. Delights in righteousness. Takes joy in God's kingdom. Pursues God. And finds all of its hope in the life to come." The heart that is pure, which is the heart that comes from God. He's praying, "God, work in me so that I live my life out of that heart and not out of the sinful flesh." He follows that with, "and renew a right spirit within me." That word "renew" indicates what I just said. That what he's saying here is not, "God, do these things for the first time," as though he's never been worked in by God. Renew. Make right again that which used to be right but went on for a period of being wrong. He speaks here in the second part of his spirit. The heart is the center, the source of all of our life. The spirit is the will or the desires that arise out of one's heart. He asks for a right spirit. As I said before, we sang that Psalter number earlier in our worship service, the right spirit literally is a steadfast spirit. He's praying that God would give him back and work in him such that he has a steadfast, established, strong spirit, that is, will or desire to serve the Lord. That was not what he had when he was walking in these sins and when he went on in his impenitence. He didn't wake up in the morning with a steadfast spirit, because a steadfast spirit wakes up in the morning and says, "This is my desire today. In this day, my desire is to serve the Lord." He didn't have that. His wills, his desires were very much different during those times of impenitence. It was all about himself. That's the opposite. It's the serving of oneself. It's a covering of sin. It's a doing what he wanted to do instead of what the Lord would call him to do. Beloved, this is an incredibly important prayer that we make as we stand before God. And that's because of everything I said in the first point of the sermon. We know how weak our flesh is. And we know how it doesn't take very much for us to lose a steadfast, strong spirit. We know how easily we can go through our lives and get caught up in the things of this earth so that we say at the point in a day, I just don't care anymore about doing what's right. I just want to not worry about what God says. Instead, I want to do what I want to do. Can't I just live my life the way I want to live it and do what I want to do? And that's not even to talk about how we can feel and act and think when we're in the midst of a sin that has its grip upon us. It is so important that we wake up in the morning and we pray, God, give me a steadfast spirit. So that every morning we wake up, we say, God, I want to serve Thee today. We wake up, we say, God, I want to obey Thy commandments. God, I want to put down my sinful flesh. God, give me strength that when the temptation comes, because I know it's going to come, it comes every day, that I'm not going to easily cave in and walk in those sins. God, work in me so that my desire is to live for Jesus and to live for my Savior and to be outward thinking and living for others and not living for myself. God, help me in this day to say, this is the authority in my life. Not what man says. Not what my feelings dictate. Not what my desires may be. But what Thou dost say, that's my life. That's my authority. That's how I'm going to live. We need every day the clean heart, the life of God in us, to be the source of our motives and thoughts and actions. And we need a spirit that is resolute in serving God day by day. Every day, God, give me a steadfast, strong spirit. This was a prayer that demonstrates absolute dependence upon God. There are several things in the text that indicate that this is dependence upon God. Let me list just a few of them. Number one is that exclamatory word in the middle. And you get a sense, when you stop and think about verse 10 carefully, the expression with which David would have prayed this to God, create in me, O God, a right spirit within me, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That O God is not to be glanced over. That O God is the indication that David knows this is what God and God alone can do. The second thing that indicates that this is completely dependent upon God is the simple fact that God, therefore, is the subject of the verbs. Who creates and who renews? He addresses it to God. God, do what Thou alone art able to do. And I believe that this is one of the reasons that David uses the word create. I said in the middle of the second point that we'd come back to this word create at the end of the sermon. That word create is the expression by David that this is a divine work that he is asking God to accomplish in him. God creates. God alone creates. The ability to create resides in the divine being of God alone. We are confronted with the power of God in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created, same word as we have here, God created the heavens and the earth. By the power of His Word, He brought forth all things into existence. And when God is asked by David, create in me a clean heart. It is David's way of saying, this is something that you alone as God are able to do. It's a looking away from himself, recognizing the truth of verse 5, in me is only the corruption of flesh. and he casting himself upon the Creator God who has worked that life in David, and now he's asking God, make that life dominate in me, rule in me, so that I live out of it instead of my sinful flesh. We need, beloved, to rely upon God for this work of sanctification just as much as we rely upon God for His work of justification and the forgiveness of sins. This is an area in our lives where we can practically rely upon ourselves. And I understand why that's the temptation, because in sanctification there is an activity on our part. We have to pursue holiness, as God tells us in His Word. But that does not mean that it is not a complete reliance upon God to accomplish this work in us. And that's natural for us to rely upon ourselves, where we say, with respect to especially these types of sins, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I am going to conquer this sin. This is the thing that I am going to put in my life in order to walk a certain way. And we can pray for forgiveness. We can pray that God would declare us righteous, but then never offer a petition that says, God, sanctify me, work in me, make that new man dominate in me, renew in me a steadfast spirit. We can never make those petitions and just rely upon ourselves for walking as we are called to walk. I'm here to tell you, based upon the Word of God, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen that we walk as we are called to walk when we rely upon ourselves. But understand that these go together. All of this goes together. The three prongs that we've looked at in these three sermons all go together for the child of God who with faith believes and looks to Jesus Christ. I know my sin. I ask God to forgive that sin. And the fruit of that is, God, I want to walk in obedience. And when we understand the sinful flesh and the power of it, we say to God, create in me and renew in me that right spirit. This is a divine work, and we rely upon Him to accomplish it, because it's nothing less than the application of the blood of Jesus Christ in us. David needed the blood of the promised Messiah. He needed that blood as the only solution to clean off all of the sins and the record before God and the stamp of guilty, and to replace it with the imputed righteousness and the stamp of innocence. That was the blood of Jesus Christ. But just as much did David need the blood of Jesus Christ in him. He needed the application and the fruit of God's saving work in him. For when God saves one of His children, He works in them the necessary fruit of that saving work on the cross. He works His life in our hearts and empowers us with that life of Jesus Christ that is worked in us by His Spirit. It's nothing less than the work of Jesus Christ in us, but nonetheless, all the work of Jesus Christ. So who do we look to? Who do we look to in order to go forth from the Lord's Supper today as we are called to in thankful obedience? We look to God and we pray to God. It's been implied in everything that I've said in this sermon. It's been implied in all three of these sermons, but I want to end this same way tonight. And that is that Psalm 51 is a prayer. You picked up on that certainly this morning when we had our congregational prayer. How easily Did it flow simply to recite the opening verses of Psalm 51 in our congregational prayer as a prayer? It was completely natural. Why? Because it's a prayer. David prays to God, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me." And so I end with this. Pray to God for this. Just as last week we ended, go to God and acknowledge your sins. Just as this morning the implication is, go to God and seek forgiveness for those sins. The word to us tonight is, pray to God that He would work in us holiness so that we would live out of the clean heart that He has given to us. And then in addition to that, understand that that prayer itself is a means through which God is pleased to actually work in our lives. And that we must not neglect the other means through which God works so that we go forth in the power of the new man and so that we go forth such that the old flesh in us does not reign. And those means are His Word. And those means are the preaching. And those means are the sacraments. If we are truly desirous to live a thankful, holy, obedient life, such that the flesh does not reign, but the new heart in us reigns, and out of it we live, we will busy ourselves in the means through which God is pleased to work. We will pray every day, morning, noon, and evening. God help me to live out of my new man. We will sit under the preaching of the gospel week after week. We will partake in faith the sacraments as we do so in our congregation. And we will busy ourselves in the reading, in the meditating upon, in the thinking of Scripture. And we will surround ourselves with those of like faith who build us up in the things of God. It's God's work. God's work through means by which He empowers us in the life that He has worked in us, the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, thankful for that life, that heart. And we pray that Thou wilt work in us so that we live out of it. And keep, we pray, the devil and our sinful flesh from reigning. But even now we understand that even our best works are tainted with sin. So that we always need, even in our best works, the blood of Jesus Christ to wash us clean. Father in heaven, we pray use these sermons on Psalm 51 and 2 Samuel 11 in the history of David. Use them all as we now take leave from this portion of Thy Word to lead each one of us in our lives of holiness and thanks and penitence and prayer and reliance upon Thee as our God. Through faith in Jesus Christ. In His name do we pray. Amen. Let's sing for one more time from Psalm 51, 141. Psalter 141, Psalm 51. Notice just stanza 1. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Let's sing all four stanzas of 141.